Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and U.S. Soccer and the Shebelees Cup in Atlanta on April 6th. And Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live. 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show where we cover soccer in Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Southeast, in the United States, everywhere around the world that we can find the beautiful game. We're going to talk about it here on AST, and we're going to hit a lot of those different parts of the world on tonight's show. The Champions League is back. We'll talk about a crazy result in one match and a new manager in a Champions League side that, look, it's turning some heads because of all the goals that they're scoring. We'll talk about that. The Copa Libertadores is back as well. River Plate and Colo-Colo in action right now as they get close to a conclusion in the first leg of the quarterfinal. Big moves around MLS. We're going to talk about all of those. Lots of local college action. I just got back from Oglethorpe and the Stormy Petrels men with a win tonight over Covenant. We'll talk about all of those things on AST, but we have to start with Atlanta United. And I say we have to start because we kind of have to. It doesn't, not really a want to after that game on Saturday night. It is a have to. That was not a fun experience on Saturday evening at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Nashville, a 2-0 win. We talk a lot about stats and underlying numbers and what they mean and do they mean anything. And this is one of those games where, if you did not watch it and you just pulled up the stat sheet and you see Atlanta with 54% of the possession, you see Atlanta passing at 83%, you see 5 of 10 shots on target for Atlanta United, only 3 of 7 for Nashville. You see all those numbers and you're kind of like, not bad. I wonder how that game turned. Why was it 2-0 one way? Well, a 5th-minute goal from Alex Mouille, a very good finish, the assist to Sam Surridge. You're chasing the rest of the game. A first half injury. Sean De Silva goes down. He is out for tomorrow. Edwin Mosquera came in. I think Edwin Mosquera was maybe the only bright spot for Atlanta United in this match. But the numbers don't tell you how the game felt. It did not feel close. It really didn't. And it was a very frustrating night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with the club going into the night 1 point out of the playoffs. They're now only 2 points out of the playoffs, but there's a lot of teams that are closer to them on the back end of the Eastern Conference, and one of those teams is Nashville. But it was not an inspiring evening in terms of the quality of the performance, the level of the performance. There's not much about it that was inspiring, and you're going to have to find inspiration if you're Atlanta United as you get ready for a match tomorrow night against Inter Miami, who is the best team in Major League Soccer on the standings board. They are your Supporters Shield leaders by quite a bit. They haven't won it yet, but they've done a lot. They are on a record breaking kind of pace when you talk about points in a season. That is how good Inter Miami has been this year. Atlanta United did beat them earlier this season, and that is one thing to keep in mind. But you have to get over this loss against Nashville, which was a serious gut punch to the Five Stripes. Let's hear from Derek Williams from the locker room after this match. Big thanks to our friend Jarrett Smith for getting this audio for us. Derek was asked about how you move on from a game like this. It was one of the questions that Rob Valentino, you're going to hear from in just a bit, was asked after the match. And this is what Derek Williams had to say about moving on from a night like that.
I definitely won't get it out of my mind. I don't think we should. I think we should. It should hurt us. And it just showed how hard we have to work if we want to be successful. Against Charlotte, it showed we do the hard work. We do the hard yards, every single one of us, and we get results. That wasn't the case tonight.
It was not the case. The hard work, and I think there's something that just has to be understood here. You know, look, it's easy if you are not in this on a regular basis, or you've never played at that kind of a level, or you've never been inside of a team at that kind of a level, to just toss it off as like, oh, they didn't want to win. The team that wanted it more won, and you know, they're not playing, they're not trying, and that kind of stuff. That's not how these games go. Not at this level. We're not talking about a Sunday beer league game. But you can't give a performance that would lead anyone to believe those things that are not true. But the performance was not good enough. And narratives are going to start. It's a game where Nashville was first to everything. And I kind of had a flashback as I was thinking back to this game. I had a flashback to, if you haven't seen it, I think you can find it on YouTube. It might not be under official channels. But the documentary behind the scenes of the U.S. Men's National Team 2002 World Cup run that was led by Bruce Arena. It's the best World Cup run in modern times. Got to the quarterfinal. And something that Bruce Arena would say before games in the locker room, so kind of the locker room huddle before they'd go out. And look, every team, every manager, everybody's different in it. Pep Guardiola famously talks about never going into the locker room. That's the player space. He tries to avoid that. Now, I think in different locker rooms, he's changed that. And we've seen him speaking to the group at Manchester City in a different way, maybe than he did at Barcelona or at Bayern Munich. But Bruce Arena, before games in the 2002 World Cup and in this documentary, he would say things like first shot, first tackle, first foul, first goal. Like, he wanted the team to be first to everything on the field. Atlanta United was not that at all on Saturday night. And it is something that is concerning. It's something that is surprising. I did not see it coming. I thought the previous week of training that we had a chance to see as media was very good. I thought the Tuesday session that was fully open to the media was extremely good. I liked the intensity of the group. I liked what I saw from the group. It felt like a group that, coming off of the win on the road in Charlotte, was locked in. And it's frustrating that you have that week, and look, you lost your momentum from the Charlotte win because of the international break. Yes, that is not good, but you can't have this kind of a performance in a game where this much is on the line. You're down to six games left, and this was, on paper, your most winnable game left against the team that was at the bottom of the Eastern Conference coming into it. BJ Callahan, look, he came out with a strategy and a game plan that maybe caught Atlanta by surprise in some ways. That affected the game. It wasn't that decided the game, though. It was the fact that Nashville was first to most everything that was important. Rob Valentino was asked in the post-game media about, you know, the game and everything around it. This is what was the most disappointing in the match for Valentino afterwards.
When I sit there and think about what the group should be like mentally, or what kind of group do we have? I always look at myself, how do I act? How do I prepare? How do I message them? How do we as a staff do things? So that's why Buckle always stop with me, whether it's good, bad, or different. Like, I'll give them the credit when it's great. When it's bad, I always take responsibility for it. And I can say that that's not my mentality. That's not the way I approach life. That's not the way I approach training. That's not the way I approach my work. So that's why I'm really disappointed, because I don't think there's a reason to come out that way. Because at the end of the day, there's two things they can control, and that's attitude and work rate. And there was way off it. So I don't have the great answer. If I did, maybe that would have changed. I thought it would have changed at halftime. But it's a good question.
That was Rob Valentino after the loss against Nashville on Saturday night. This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. And we're trying to figure out what happened for Atlanta United against Nashville. I don't know if we're going to come to an answer. The team was not good enough in this match. And now, look, it's got to get dialed up a whole nother level at this stage because of what you are going to be facing. You're facing Inter Miami on Wednesday and then a trip to Red Bull Arena, a place where you have never won, to face the New York Red Bulls. We'll talk about them in just a second. I wanted to play one more clip from Rob Valentino after the loss on Saturday night. Here he is talking to the media about leaders within his group.
There aren't as many veterans, right? I understand that. You got Derek that's been around a while. There's got other guys that have good experience and different experiences. You got Brad, obviously Dax is on the bench, and they do their parts. There's only so much they can do, I get, when they're not in the lineups. As we know, Dax is not going to play forever. Guys aren't going to play forever. So it's like trying to create the next leaders. Getting them to step up to the plate. Some of that's, you know, whether it's a vocal thing, but I'm looking for all of them. I've told them before that there's not one person is bigger than the club, not one person is bigger than their team. So when we had no DP there, I talked to them about being together as a group and really being strong as a group, and everybody worked together, everybody has a voice, and everybody really, you're one unit together. And then Alexi comes, it's okay, now you got another player, and he comes in not to be different than the group and not to set outside the group and be a DP as it is in this league. The challenge is that they work together themselves and pull it out of each other. So we're trying to create the next leaders. Some of that's in them, some of that's not. So it's about pulling that out of them, probing them, asking questions, supporting them, you know, holding them accountable. But there's no one person I look to the group.
He wants to see a response, essentially, to what happened on Saturday, tomorrow night, against Inter Miami. And this is a team that, you know, Atlanta United beat in Fort Lauderdale earlier this season, one of the best wins of the season. And that's the crazy thing about 2024 for Atlanta United. They have a win over Miami, they have a win on the road against over Miami, and they have a win at home over Columbus. They have good wins on the board. They don't have enough wins, period. And they don't have wins over some teams that they should have wins over. And that's a very frustrating element of this season for Atlanta United. The up and down nature of it, the roller coaster nature of it. And at times, I don't want to say willingness, because I don't think that's the right word to use here, but just the fact of playing up or down to the level of their competition. Well, the competition's really good the rest of the week. It is Miami tomorrow night at the Benz. Should be a very big crowd. Lionel Messi is traveling, according to Tata Martino, as is Luis Suarez. Sergio Busquets is suspended for the match due to yellow card accumulation, as is Aviles on the back line. Miami missed Messi for quite a while due to the ankle injury picked up in the Copa America final. Did they really miss him? Not that much. He came back on Saturday against Philadelphia in Fort Lauderdale. 2 goals, 1 assist, 3-1 win over Philly. Philly jumped out to a 1-0 lead in the second minute. Miami took control. They won 3-1. This Miami team has won 27 points from losing positions. They've won 5 games in a row, and they've won 16 of their last 20 matches. Yeah, that's not bad, is it? They are trying to break the all-time MLS single-season points record. 74 points is that record. They are on 62 points, and they have 6 games left. So they are 12 points off of it with 18 points to play for. That is going to potentially have Messi and Suarez on the field. I don't know, maybe a little bit more than you might think. it doesn't get any easier with the trip on Saturday to Red Bull Arena. The Red Bulls don't play on Wednesday night. They have the night off, so they're going to be well rested. But this is a Red Bull team that lost 2-1 in Chicago on Saturday night. Emil Forsberg has not started since June 1st. Since he started last for this team, they have 2 wins from 15 across all competitions. They've only scored 16 goals in those 15 games in all competitions. Forsberg gave them a quality that they have not had in recent years. A guy who can win games, a guy who can play in their system, but a guy who is a top, top player. If he gets back and he is healthy, then this is a different kind of team. But right now, this is not a very good team. However, Atlanta United at Red Bull Arena has always struggled. It has been a house of horrors for Atlanta United. They have gotten a result there before, but they have not gotten 3 points at Red Bull Arena. It's not going to be easy with them having the midweek off. What has to be better for Atlanta United? In my opinion, the first half has to be better. That's something we've talked about all season long. You've got to get something out of both sides of the pitch. It can't be one-dimensional in terms of where the attacks are coming from, or at least where the quality chances are coming from. That has mostly been on the right side all season long. How you replace Sean De Silva, is it going to be Edwin Mosquera? That would be a safe bet, depending on what kind of formation you play, because of how well he played off the bench on Saturday night. You want to get Alexei Maranchuk going, but you don't want to force it. I thought at times they forced it through him on Saturday night. He had 2 shot-created actions on the night. Sabolob Janidze can be the guy who can carry this team in a lot of different ways. He's got to find a wavelength with Maranchuk, I think, to make this group as good as it can be. And look, most importantly, you've got to start straight away with intensity, with physical play, with a presence. This team has to come out with personality tomorrow night at the Benz against Miami. And you got to do the same thing on the road against the Red Bulls. We'll talk more about Miami coming to town tomorrow. We'll get caught up on the rest of the news around Major League Soccer. All of that coming up in 5 on Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. We're trying to figure out what happened with Atlanta United on Saturday night in a 2-0 loss to Nashville. And what has to be different this week against Miami? Tomorrow night, you'll be able to hear pregame coverage starting at 6:30 here on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Kickoff will be at 7:40. And then, look, it's a quick turnaround, a trip up to New Jersey to face the New York Red Bulls on Saturday night. Same thing. Pregame coverage will start at 6:30. Kickoff will be at 7:40 from Harrison, New Jersey. One thing that's a challenge about this week is you played Saturday night against Nashville, a bad result. Off Sunday, session on Monday, that was pretty light, honestly. And then, you know, a walkthrough kind of session today. You can work on some finer points of things, but not a super intense session. Play tomorrow. Then Thursday, Friday, it's, again, rest and recovery and walkthroughs and video sessions, and then you go again. And these are two of the most important games of the season, because when you look at the table in the Eastern Conference, and I think it's always good to kind of revisit this so you know where everything stands. Miami's leading the way in the East on 62 points. They have won 19. They have lost 4. They have drawn 5. Now, when you look at Miami and you look at their record, there are a couple things that stand out. They've scored more goals than anybody else in the Eastern Conference by a lot. Columbus is next. 13 goals behind Miami. However, they've conceded a lot compared to the other top teams around them. You've got to go down to 8th place Toronto to find somebody who has conceded more than Miami. Orlando has conceded as many. They're in 5th. But you have a lot of teams that are better defensively around Miami. So as we saw, earlier this season in Fort Lauderdale. Miami is not a team that's very intense defensively. They drop off a lot. They're going to give you time. They're going to give you space. They're going to let you play. Can Atlanta take advantage of that in this match? I'm really interested to see how Alexei Marinchuk is able to find that space and exploit that space for Atlanta in this game against Miami. So Miami's top of the table, 10 points ahead of Cincinnati, who's in second. Columbus is 2 points behind that in third. They've all clinched playoff spots. Red Bulls are in fourth for now. They have a 3-point lead on Orlando. They're 7 points behind Columbus. It feels like one is done and dusted. Two and three, Cincinnati and Columbus are going to go back and forth the rest of the way. Columbus does have a game in hand. Red Bulls have played one game more than the next three teams on the table, and they have a 3-point advantage. It's Orlando and New York City on 40 points, Charlotte on 38. So those are your teams that are into the first round best of threes. The play-in game right now is Toronto hosting DC. Toronto's on 36, DC is on 33. Atlanta, 2 points back on 31. They're in 10th. Philadelphia, Montreal, 1 point further back on 30. Chicago and Nashville, 2 points further back on 29. New England is 4 points further back on 27. They do have a game in hand, but they have not looked all that convincing with that extra game in hand. 6 games left for Atlanta, 5 games left for Toronto and DC, and Chicago, by the way, who's a little bit further back. New England has the game in hand on the teams who have played 28 games. Atlanta does have 8 wins as well. Philadelphia, Montreal, Chicago, Nashville, all who are 1 to 2 points behind, they have 7 wins. Wins is the first tiebreaker, so that's something to keep in mind. Atlanta has the same number of wins as DC, who is in 9th, 2 points ahead. So these next 2 games, critical. Then it's a trip to Philadelphia. Even more critical. That could essentially be a playoff game. Then you get Red Bulls coming back to Atlanta. You got Montreal, which could be a playoff game, essentially, in Atlanta in October. And then you go to Orlando on Decision Day. You're playing the teams around you in the table, and it doesn't get any bigger than this week. The reaction has to be there. You know, I talked in the last segment about things that I want to see from this team going into, honestly, both of these games. I think we're a little more focused on Wednesday with Messi and Suarez and Jordi Alba and our old friend Julian Gressel and others making the return trip to Atlanta, or maybe for the first time in some of their cases. I think the biggest thing that I'm looking for in this game is a response to the poor performance on Saturday against Nashville in the first 15 minutes. I generally like to break games up into 15-minute increments. You can split it wherever you want. You know, sometimes you split the half into halves. You can split the game into four that way. You can split the game into 6 and 15-minute increments. You can break it into 10-minute increments, whatever. Everybody's different. I kind of think of it in 15-minute increments. The first 15, there's got to be a response. There's got to be a response in terms of winning 50-50 duels. There's got to be a response in terms of being brave on the ball. There's got to be a response in being organized. The things that get a reaction from the crowd. And, you know, you at times, and I asked Rob Valentino about this after training on Monday. You know, what you want to see in those moments. There was an answer from Derek Williams in the locker room that I think maybe has been misconstrued in different ways in the conversation since. He said there was a tackle early in the game and Nashville won the 50-50 and it felt like a precursor of what's to come, or it changed the momentum, or, you know, yes, those things happen in games. Little things in games do change the feel of the game. That I 100% agree with that. Momentum is a real thing. Momentum is a very important thing in games, and you can't quantify it. There's not a stat for it, but momentum is real. When you're at home and you have the crowd that is waiting for a reason to make noise and be loud and be crazy and be obnoxious and be silly and whatever, you're wanting, they're waiting on the edge of their seat for something. You got to give that to them, and you can give that to them in a lot of different ways. I think the easy things that pop to the crowd other than a goal. It can come from an offensive skill move. It can come from a nutmeg. It can come from winning a dribbling duel. It can come from those things. That's big. Got to win those. It can come from a big tackle, a big collision where you knock somebody over, a good hard foul. Those kinds of things can get a crowd going as well. So there's lots of different ways to start to change the momentum or break up another team's momentum. I need to see some of those in the first 15 minutes. I think that's something that a lot of people are going to be looking for. I want to see that. You know, when you look at how Atlanta United can approach this game, you look back to the game against Miami, and, you know, as Rob Valentino said, and I shared it on Instagram earlier today, Longshoe, if you're not following me there and you would like to, you can't just take the blueprint from what went right in Fort Lauderdale earlier this season and just project that forward to this team. This is a different group. Miami's a different group. You have to make a game plan based off what tomorrow is, not what the earlier season matchup was. But in that game, Atlanta played with three center backs. They played with five across the back. They played with two central midfielders. So, and in a front three, it was almost like a 5-2-2-1, depending on how you want to frame it. Atlanta's done that. That was under Gonzalo Pineda. That was his next to last match. They've done that since. Rob Valentino did that in his early sessions with the team, his early matches. He's went to more of a line of four. But you've got a lot of possibilities here. You could play the 4-3-3. You do have to solve who plays on the left wing in that case. Is it Saba going there? We've seen Rob Valentino play with three central midfielders, with three of Dax McCarty, Bartosz Ślisz, Tristan Mbemba, Jay Fortune. That's a very possible thing to be secure in the midfield. Alexei Maranchuk can play on the wing. Talked about that when he was signed. He can play on the right wing and cut inside on the left. He can play as the second forward. He's done that as well in his career. We talked about the issues at fullback, especially at the end of the game, where I was a little riled up after the challenge from Sam Surridge that busted Pedro Amador open. And luckily, that was the worst of it. He did train this week. He is not listed on the injury report. Sean De Silva is listed as out after he had to leave the match in the first half. He's been battling a foot injury all season. But Amador will be able to go. Lennon will be able to go. Ronald Hernandez is out. Matt Edwards is back. He was ill and not part of the group on the weekend. He was back in training on Monday. So you've got cover at fullback. If you play with a line of five, you could play a less traditional wing back if you so choose. You know, have flashbacks to 2019 when Justin Merrim played as a wing back for Atlanta United in the 3-5-2/3-6-1 that the team played at times, or 5-3-2 or 5-4-1, if you want to call it that. Formations are overrated. But do you want to go with three center backs here? Do you want to go with three central midfielders here? Do you want to go with two up top here? Lots of options for Rob Valentino that could keep Tata Martino guessing. One thing from getting to know Rob over these last couple of months and talking to him and kind of, I guess, talking a little bit about what makes him tick as a manager. He learned a lot from his time with Rob from Tata Martino in 2018 when Rob was part of the staff and he was part of the group, especially later in the season. He learned a lot from Tata Martino. He said that Tata maybe made him change the way he thinks about the game the most. So lots of good reunions in this match with Atlanta and Miami. But Atlanta's desperate. They've got to find a way to get something out of this game. And it's got to be better than it was on Saturday night. Because if you don't, and you don't get momentum going in your direction, and then you go on the road, the end of this week could have a very different feel than the beginning of it. And Atlanta United does not want to be in that situation. A couple other bits of news from around the league, just to give you an update here. LAFC, they re-signed Carlos Vela. He had been out of contract since the end of last season. Signed him for the remainder of 2024, club option for 2025. I don't know how fit he is. I don't know how much he can actually help this team with only a handful of games left. We'll see. They lost to LA Galaxy over the weekend. I said it before when the Galaxy beat Atlanta United earlier this year. I think the LA Galaxy have been the best team in the West in terms of quality. They are in the table, and they showed it against LAFC. LAFC got out to an early lead. Galaxy didn't care. They won 4-2. RSL has went the other direction. The moves that they made in the summer have been an issue. They haven't really replaced Andres Gomez. It doesn't look the same in the attack. And maybe the biggest question for Pablo Mastroeni with RSL is they haven't settled on a number one goalkeeper right now. It's been Zach McMath sometimes. It's been Gavin Beaver sometimes. We saw that when we were out there with Atlanta United in Utah. I don't know how they fix that. If you don't have a number one goalkeeper and you just have multiple guys who are rotating in, that's not going to keep the team confident. And when you lose Gomez and you haven't really replaced him in the attack, that's not going to keep the team confident. Some off the field stuff as we wrap up this segment, talking about MLS news. Mikey Veras, who was recently the interim head coach for the U.S. men's national team, he was named the first head coach in San Diego FC history on Monday. Expansion draft coming up after the season. San Diego will join the league next year. Veras was previously the U.S. under 20 manager. And Marcelo Clowery, this was an interesting one. He has now joined New York City FC's ownership group and has been named co-vice chairman. Clowery was part of the Miami ownership group. He was really one of the main people who helped bring Inter Miami to life alongside David Beckham. The Moss brothers and Clowery had a falling out, which kind of led to Clowery being a whistleblower on the rules that were being bent by the Miami front office and saw them get punished for that. Clowery then sold out to the rest of the owners. A couple other owners departed Inter Miami at that time as well. Clowery now has 10% of NYC and the new stadium that is being built and will open in 2027. It's a big ownership group. City Football Group is part of it. Yankee Global Enterprises is part of it. City Football Group will own 80% of it. The Yankee Global Enterprises 10, and Clowery with 10%. So Clowery trades in Miami to go to be part of the New York City ownership group. Coming up next, three local stories, four world headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. It's the 3-4-3 up next in 5 minutes on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
AST is back live for one more segment. And y'all know what segment it is. It's the 3-4-3 brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Let's start on the local side. Number one, not smiling a whole lot as Atlanta United 2 had a crazy 6-3 loss on Sunday to Huntsville. I don't remember a 6-3 game like ever in my life. This one was nuts. Atlanta outshot Huntsville 18-17. Huntsville had 11 shots on target to Atlanta's 10. Huntsville went up 4-0 in the first 37 minutes. Goals in the 12th, 27th, 35th, and 37th. Jonathan Bolaños with a goal and two assists in that time frame for Huntsville. Rubens Passius had two goals. Forster Ajago had a goal and an assist. Huntsville had Nashville players come down and play with them in this game, and that was a big help for Huntsville City. Well, Atlanta did not stop fighting in this game, and it was something that Steve Cook talked about today with us as the Tews get ready to play at Crown Legacy on Thursday night. Noble Okello scored in the 44th out on an assist from Nick Firmino. Kareem Tamimi came in at halftime. He scored in the 49th. Ashton Gordon with a great goal in the 81st off of a cross from Luke Brennan. And it was 4-3 in the 81st. And all the momentum is Atlanta's way at that point. Well, 4 minutes later, Huntsville turned that momentum around the other way. Johnny Perez with a goal in the 85th, followed by Passius getting his hat trick completed from the penalty spot in the 88th. So a crazy, weird 6-3 loss. Atlanta United 2's playoff hopes are hanging on by a thread at this point. But this team is still fighting. Players are fighting for their futures. Players are fighting for future contracts with the club or from other clubs. You're down to that portion of the season for Atlanta United 2. They will be back in action on Thursday night on the road at Crown Legacy, 7:30 kickoff. You can watch on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass, or you can listen to it on the SDH network. Make sure you're following soccer down here, wherever you are on social media. Number two on the local side, let's get into the college results from this evening locally. I was in Brookhaven. Oglethorpe's men hosted Covenant in a D3 non-conference matchup. The Stormy Petrels got their first win of the season. They're now 1-1-4, one of the weirdest records I've ever seen. Dylan Bapst had two assists on the night, three different goal scorers for Oglethorpe. Adrian Levy scored his fourth goal of the season to open the scoring. Brilliant goal from him. Georgia State won on the road at Wofford. 2-0 win for the Panthers. Both goals from Justin McLean, the Atlanta United Academy product. And a little bit of history in that one, and we'll come back to it before we're done. Number three, on the local side of things, on the college side of things, some games this week in the Atlanta area and beyond. Oglethorpe's women tomorrow night. If you're not going to be at the Benz, you can go see the Stormy Petrels hosting Georgia Gwinnett. That's going to be in Brookhaven at 7 o'clock. Georgia hosting South Carolina, who beat Georgia State 6-0 on Sunday. The Gamecocks face the Bulldogs tomorrow night or Thursday night in Athens, followed by a Sunday match on the road for Georgia as they go to Nashville to face Vandy. Those are the SEC openers for Georgia. Kennesaw State, they have their Conference USA opener hosting UTEP Thursday night. Then they will host Jackson State in a non-conference game on Sunday at noon. Georgia State's men are at home Saturday night at the GSU Soccer Complex, and Georgia State's women will open Sunbelt Conference play on Sunday at 7 o'clock against Marshall. Let's get into the headlines from around the world. Number one, the Champions League is back, and you don't want me to try to sing the theme song. I think they've added little elements to it this season, from what I've heard. Got started with two games in the 12:45 window before four games at 3 o'clock today. Juventus, big win for them. Weston McKennie was a big part of it. 3-1 over PSV. Aston Villa, first game in Europe in a long time. They won in Switzerland 3-0 over Young Boys. Bayern Munich won really big. We're going to talk a little bit more about them in a second. Liverpool gave up a goal in the third minute in Milan and then came back and won 3-1. Real Madrid, 3-1 winners at home over Stuttgart. Sporting, 2-0 winners in Lisbon over Lille. Christian Pulisic for Milan mentioned the Milan early goal. It was Pulisic's goal in the third minute. His 30th goal contribution in all competitions for Milan. 18 goals and 12 assists since joining the team. No other player has contributed to more goals in Serie A than Christian Pulisic since he joined Milan at the start of last season. World-class player. The best player in the United States national team program. And anything that happens in 2026 is going to be led by Christian Pulisic. Tomorrow, Champions League. Two games at 12:45. Bologna hosting Shakhtar Donetsk, and as well as Sparta Prague hosting RB or Red Bull Salzburg. The RBs, it's always weird. In Germany, you can't say Red Bull. It's not Red Bull Leipzig. It's RB Leipzig. In Austria, it's Red Bull Salzburg. Weird things with ownership. 3 o'clock games. Celtic is at home tomorrow at 3 against Slovan. Club Bruges at 3 o'clock hosting Dortmund. Maybe the biggest game of the day in terms of the headlines. Manchester City hosting Inter. Maybe the hipster game of the 3 o'clock window. PSG without Kylian Mbappe these days hosting Girona, who was one of the surprise teams out of La Liga last season. Number two on the headlines, Copa Libertadores. Quarterfinals started tonight. Colo-Colo hosting River Plate. Three more games the rest of the week, so it's the first legs of the quarterfinals. Colo-Colo and River finished 1-1. That just finished a little bit ago, and in classic Copa Libertadores fashion, you had chaos, absolute chaos. So in this match, River scored first in the match, 43rd minute, Pessea, right before halftime. Acuna with the assist. River has loaded up this team. Arturo Vidal, I know you remember him, he assisted on Colo-Colo's goal in the 61st minute to level it, went to VAR, the goal was upheld, all the yellow cards, all the craziness happening, and then you had dual red cards in the 90th minute, one for each team. Our old friend Leandro Gonzalez Pires checked into the match as well. Just a crazy night in Chile as Colo-Colo ends up with a 1-1 draw at home against River. I don't know if that's going to be enough for them. Tomorrow, Fluminense hosts Atletico Mineiro, while Thiago Almada's Botafogo hosts Sao Paulo. On Thursday, last game in the first leg of the quarterfinals, Luis Araujo's Flamengo hosting Peñarol of Uruguay. Number three on the headlines, Rodri, Manchester City midfielder, has suggested that players are, quote, close to going on strike, close maybe being the unquote part of it, because of concerns over the increasing workload. Now, Rodri talked about it, and I think maybe the close to going on strike words were being put into his mouth with that, but it is becoming a major issue, and it's becoming a major talking point. Rodri, last season, played 63 games for club and country that didn't end until July 14th, the Euro final. He's looking at even more games this year. Champions League, bigger. Club World Cup, bigger. That begins in June. Top international players who play in Champions League and the Club World Cup could end up playing as many as 85 games this season. Rodri's averaged more than 50 club games a year since joining Manchester City in 2019. He says that's too many. This is the quote from Rodri. I don't have an exact number. From my experience, I can tell you that 60 to 70 games a season? No. Between 40 or 50 is the amount of games in which a player can perform at the highest level. After that, you drop because it's impossible to sustain the physical level. FIFA Pro on the player side, the confederations have to sit down. The Association of Leagues, I know there's one in Europe. I don't know about other continents, but this needs to be a global conversation. It is too much. Managers are going to have to rotate squads more. That is one thing that does need to happen more. But physical workload, you can't handle that many games. It's got to change. There's got to be a conversation about it. Fingers crossed that there actually is. I don't know if there is a organized strike being talked about. But you're going to see load management. We hate it in the NBA, right? You're going to see that in soccer. You're going to have to. It's just for physical and mental fatigue. You're going to have to. Number four, I wanted to save this for one more headline. Bayern Munich. Vincent Kompany being hired there got a lot of headlines. They won 9-2 today over Dinamo Zagreb, who was bad. Like, don't get me wrong. Champions League, Dinamo Zagreb was horrible. 9-2. But Bayern on the weekend won 6-1 over Holstein Kiel. Now, newly promoted, but still, that's 15 goals in two games. What's going on with Bayern? Now, they are more direct. They're more vertical. It's working. Will it work for good? We don't know. It's way too early. But Harry Kane scoring a crazy amount of goals. Jamal Musiala really suits the system. 6-1 followed by 9-2. I want to see what happens next for Bayern. I'll tell you that much. Three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. Very quickly to finish things off. Number one, Clayton State's women's program. They're off to one of the best starts in program history. 3-0-1. It was a 1-1 draw against Rollins on Sunday afternoon. What they have done to overturn this program, Ross Anderson and the work that he and his staff have done, it's amazing to see. Keep an eye on that group in the D2 Peach Belt Conference this year. Number two, speaking of coaches, Brett Cerency of Georgia State's men's program. He won his 144th game tonight for the Panthers, becoming the all-time winningest coach in program history. The Panthers program started in 1968. Cerency tonight passed legendary Scotty O'Neill on the win chart with 144. Big time congrats to Brett Cerency and the Panthers. 2-0 winners tonight at Wofford. And number three, I hope you get a chance to read this. It's on soccerdownhere.net. Madison Cruz and I had a chance to sit down with Ronald Hernandez recently, and we talked to him for over 20 minutes, and he basically told us everything about his story, his journey. Was incredibly open about how he has felt in Atlanta, how much he loves the city, loves the club, everything that has been done for him. He's talked about how challenging it is to work hard and not always get the reward of playing. Please, if you get a chance to read it, please do so. Ronald is absolutely one of the good guys in the game. I hate the bad luck he's had with injuries here as of late, but he is a dedicated servant to Atlanta United. And please, if you get a chance to check that out, let us know what you think at Soccer Down Here. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night, 6:30 for the Five Stripes Countdown. Kickoff at 7:40. Atlanta United, Inter Miami from the Benz, followed by a trip for Atlanta United out to New Jersey to face the Red Bulls, followed by me coming back here on AST next Tuesday at 10 p.m. Adios, everybody.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.